Okay, you may or may not be a football fan, though. If you are, heads up, we are going to take your calls a little later in the show on last night's Super Bowl game, Tom Brady's seventh ring. Still, even people who aren't football fans often tune into the Super Bowl for the commercials. You probably have done that yourself. And while COVID-19 has changed a lot about life, including how much people are watching network TV, it turns out that the price tag for a 30-second Super Bowl spot, it just keeps climbing. It's about $5.5 million now. So the question is, did advertisers spend their money well this year? WBUR senior news analyst John Carroll is joining us to review the good, the bad, and the ugly of last night's ads. He spent 2 decades as a creative director and consultant in the ad industry. John, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Good to be here.
So, John, always fun to start with the headline. Big takeaways. What did you see? Was there some kind of theme across the ads last night?
There were a couple of themes. One of them was nostalgia. You saw Wayne's World, you saw Sesame Street, you saw Dolly Parton flipping her 9-to-5 anthem from 1978. There was also a lot more inclusivity, diversity last night than we might have seen previously. We had a lot of actors like Michael B. Jordan, Don Cheadle, David Diggs, who showed up in the ads. And I think there were a couple of ads that really stood out for diversity. One was the Indeed job search website, which followed, featured real people, real job seekers, mm-hmm. and really busted up a whole bunch of stereotypes that I thought was really a welcome change. So those two things were really the major trends that I saw in the ads. And, you know, you had your usual celebrity stuffed ads, ads going for humor. Some of them made it, some of them didn't. You know, Super Bowl ads tend to overpromise and underdeliver. And I think that we had our fair share of those last night.
Okay, so to that point, it didn't feel to me like there were any of those iconic moments like a 1984 Apple commercial or the Clydesdales after 9/11. Anything that you think is going to sort of stick with us for years?
Well, you know, I know that Jeep was going for that iconic status with Bruce Springsteen, but I have to say, you know, that was $11 million that they just should have set on fire, because it in the climate that we have right now, the political climate we have right now, you know, you're either preaching to the choir or, you know, you're getting yelled at by the opposite side. So I think, it swung and missed for a lot of people, because there's just no room for that right now in the public discourse.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk about some specific ads and play some sound for folks. I want to start with something that didn't happen technically, because Budweiser, to, you know, have a little fun with it, made hay out of not airing a blockbuster Budweiser ad, often like the Clydesdales or something like that, because instead they were donating money to the vaccine awareness. But then during the second ad break, here comes Bud Light with a minute-long greatest hits ad. Here's a little bit of that.
Where's the Bud Light?
It's missing.
What a mess. Medieval people. Post Malone?
Cedric.
Dr. Galagos?
Yes, I am.
All right, Bud Light legends.
Let's do this.
Oh, the Bud Light's back.
Nice.
The Bud Light legends save the day.
Now, arguably an entertaining commercial, but was that a bait and switch by Anheuser-Busch or just a smart tactic?
Well, I think, you know, Anheuser-Busch has a lot of different brands, you know, and they had 3 or 4 of them in the Super Bowl last night. I think they went with the flagship brand sitting out because it was basically a PR kind of effort, and tried to ally them with, you know, the pro-vaccine side of America. The other ones, you know, they're all legitimate advertisers. I think if people didn't make the distinction between Anheuser-Busch and the brands that make up Anheuser-Busch, then, you know, maybe they were misled to some degree. I mean, the company itself ran an ad that had people going out for a beer, saying, you know, wouldn't it be nice if you could just say to somebody, let's go have a beer? You know, eventually,
yeah,
you're hoping that that would happen.
All right, so the Budweiser Clydesdale sit out, and Sam Adams takes advantage of it. It was kind of a stinker shot from them. So we open with this powerful, majestic view of horses on the streets of Boston, and then all hell breaks loose. The horses run wild after your cousin from Boston accidentally sets them free. Here's a little bit of that.
Whoops, your cousin from Boston.
I did not see that coming. Anyway, Sam Adams' Wicked Hazy IPA.
Juicy, right?
Can we not tell my mom about this?
Can they even do that?
They did it. You know, the ad only ran in Boston and New York. And, you know, there was some speculation that Anheuser-Busch might come after them. I'm not sure you can trademark a Clydesdale. Maybe you can. But I think it was wise of Anheuser-Busch not to go after Sam Adams. They would have looked like a bully and a bad sport. I mean, the ad didn't work all that well as far as I was concerned. But it got some pre-press, and that's a lot of the game with Super Bowl ads is to try to get as much pre-press and post-press as you possibly can to supplement your ad on the air.
All right. So I said at the top, you know, about $5.5 million for an ad. That's a lot to throw into the wind if your ad flops. Reddit did something kind of interesting. They ran a 5-second ad. I think based on a 30-second spend, that's about $920,000. Can you talk about that ad, and was it a good idea?
Talk about your post-ad bump. Reddit got a good one. I mean, basically, it was a 5-second ad. You would have to go and rewind if you were taping and freeze it to be able to read it. But basically, it was a self-congratulatory ad talking about how well its people do. It had echoes of Wall Street Bets, the sort of investment site that runs on Reddit that was involved in the GameStop fiasco. So I think, from that standpoint, it was a smart buy. Sometimes, it costs more for a 15-second ad, more than half, than for a 30-second ad. There can be a premium there sometimes. But that was their entire ad budget. So, they spent it all on 5 seconds on the Super Bowl.
So you mentioned there weren't a ton of ads that spoke to our moment, but I do want to get to some of those heartstring ads, and there were some. They're really designed to just make you feel something. You've got the Ford ad offering hope after the pandemic ends, another 2-minute ad narrated by Bruce Springsteen for Jeep about coming together. You talked about that one. Then there was this Toyota ad, and it was powerful. It told the story of Olympian Jessica Long with images of her swimming. Here's some of that.
Mrs. Long?
Yes?
We've found a baby girl for your adoption, but there are some things you need to know. She's in Siberia, and she was born with a rare condition. Her legs will need to be amputated. Her life, it won't
so
be
So really...
easy.
That one really was gut-wrenching. It's quite a long ad, and it really shows this family's commitment to this girl who grows up to be this powerful Olympian. What's interesting is that in all of those kinds of ads, only Jeep even bothered to show a vehicle. So what are they really selling?
I mean, they're selling brand image. They're selling some kind of emotional connection with the viewers and consumers. Toyota is really good at doing those kinds of ads. They've been doing them for, I think, the last 2 or 3 Super Bowls. And I think, what they want to do is show themselves as a company with a heart, show themselves as a company that knows what's important in life and what isn't. They're not selling a car. They're selling a brand, a company. And, it was probably the best ad of the night in terms of just having an impact on the viewers and having a lasting impact on the viewers.
So the other ad that was an ad that sort of didn't run because it was T-Mobile and Verizon was the sponsor, had Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski with the headline 1 year ago. Here's some of that.
Gronk.
What up, TB?
What do you think my next move should be? Give it to me straight. Maybe it's just time I hang him up.
If you retire now, you're going to be walking on soft sand in a week.
Just come to Florida
and feel the wind in your hair. Retirement is like winning another one. Maybe I'll even join you.
On a spotty network, this is what Tom heard.
If you retire now, you're soft and weak.
Just come to Florida and win another one.
Maybe I'll even join you.
Just go win another one.
Like it's that easy, Gronk.
So, you know, then you've got the Mountain Dew one where there was a Twitter component to it, you know, that we're moving out of the realm of the ad live on the Super Bowl. Reactions to that?
Yeah, I think, you know, the Mountain Dew one was weird. And, you know, there was a contest. You were supposed to count the number of bottles in the ad and win $1 million. I mean, it would have helped if they had said that up front, as opposed to at the end of the ad. But there's no way. I mean, you know, you have to freeze frame every frame to figure that out. You know, it was odd. It was odd. This Gronkowski and Brady ad, T-Mobile ran a whole bunch of ads. I'm not sure why this one didn't make it. And it wasn't clear whether CBS pulled it or the NFL pulled it or Verizon objected to it. It's kind of a mystery. But it's not like T-Mobile didn't have a whole bunch of other ads that ran during the game.
All right. So last question for you. I know this differs from person to person, but what's your favorite? You said the Toyota was most effective. What was your favorite?
I think probably the M&M's ad. I really like that one. I thought it was, you know, to give a bag of M&M's to apologize to people for say, you know, calling someone a Karen, even if her name is Karen, which is how it turned out. So I like that one. Let me just put in the worst ad, I thought, was the Oatly ad with the CEO singing at the piano. I mean, talk about a concept with a capital K. That was just remarkably bad.
All right. Well, that is WBUR senior news analyst John Carroll. John, thanks.
Thank you.